right, fine. Come on in. Come on in. We're doing a show. It's called The Young Turks. It's Cenk and Anna. Listen, was last night's live episode of Old School fun?
Yes.
I guess. Okay. It's back. It's live. And don't miss it. By the way, obviously members get both the live version that everybody got plus the bonus episode, which is just as long, 45 minutes each. So we had a ton of fun last night with Mark Thompson. So check it out, tyt.com/join is the best way to get all that programming. All right, guess what we're gonna do today though? We're gonna have another fun conversation and another fun show. And on top of that, we're gonna add another bonus episode.
Bonus episodes.
For the members. For
That's
the members.
That's what we do. That's what
okay. we do. It's called bonus. You don't have to have it, but it would be nice.
One of our many offerings.
It is. We have many offerings.
That's always my favorite phrasing for any company or business when they talk about their offerings.
Yes, we have many offerings. Many bonus episodes for the members. All right.
Speaking of offerings, by the way, if you want to get access to our bonus show and other members only programming, a good way to do that is just to click on that join button. If you're watching on YouTube, you can become a YouTube member and you'll be offered three different tiers depending on what you're comfortable paying. And you'll get access to exclusive perks, exclusive programming, and most of all, in my opinion, the most important, you keep us sustainable, you keep us independent, and we always appreciate that, so thank you.
I thought for sure you were gonna say, and most importantly, you get me.
Well, that too. You get an extra half hour of me Monday through Thursday.
Whoa,
in the bonus episode.
Extra half hour of the salt dragon, who doesn't want that? All right, what's next?
Well, there's a CIA-related news today. The CIA is getting mocked pretty viciously online for its new recruitment video, which uses words like cisgender, millennial, and intersectional in an effort to appeal to progressives. Did it work? I don't know. Let's take a look at the recruitment video and you judge for yourselves.
Nothing about me was or is tragic. I am perfectly made. I can wax eloquent on complex legal issues in English while also belting Guayaquil de mis amores in Spanish. I can change a diaper with one hand and console a crying toddler with the other. I am a woman of color. I am a mom. I am a cisgender millennial who's been diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. I am intersectional, but my existence is not a box-checking exercise. I am a walking declaration, a woman whose inflection does not rise at the end of her sentences, suggesting that a question has been asked. I did not sneak into CIA. My employment was not and is not the result of a fluke or slip through the cracks.
She might not have snuck into the CIA, but the CIA snuck her into that recruitment video in an effort to I guess clean up their image and make it appear as though it's like this wonderful government agency that doesn't orchestrate coups in other countries, which we'll get to in just a second, because I think that's the relevant part of the story. But that's not what conservatives are taking away from this. They're concerned that an ad like that, that is too woke, makes our enemies laugh at us. Let's start with Meghan McCain, who says, the CIA recruitment video is a joke and totally embarrassing for our entire country. China, Russia, and our enemies are laughing at us. Yeah, that's right, that's right. They saw that recruitment video and they're like, yeah, let's go ahead and laugh at the United States over this. Believe me, there are many other things to laugh about, including the fact that you are on a national television show every day to share your political opinions. But I have other critique from conservatives. Before I get to that, Cenk, do you wanna jump in?
Sure. Okay. Look, there's two sides to this, right? There's the defeating the conservative critique, which is absurd, with things like they're like, oh yeah, now I guess they're gonna do diversity at the CIA. I worked so soft and weak. Where do you think CIA agents go? Do you think they go to middle America? I hope not. They're not supposed to by law, right? They go to other countries where they need to blend in. So if you have Latinas who speak Spanish, they would probably make good CIA agents. Okay, if you have people who look like me who would blend in a Muslim country or maybe even a Mediterranean one, right? That might make for a good agent if you spoke Turkish, Arabic, all these different things. But this reminds me of Don Rumsfeld when he fired everyone who spoke Arabic right before we went into the Iraq war at the Defense Department. And they asked him, why did you do that? He said, I don't want any Arabist apologists. So then we went into a country that speaks purely Arabic and we didn't know how to communicate to them. That is like the textbook definition of stupid. And that is exactly what Republicans do. Like, oh, wait on. No, you want everybody to look good white men in the CIA, okay? And then we send them into Honduras and Mozambique and Myanmar. And those good white men, the CIA, go kill people, right? That's not what they're supposed to do first, okay?
Yeah.
And they just have a total fundamental misunderstanding. At the same time, we'll also get into, obviously, I don't know why we have to mention cisgender in a CIA yet.
No, I mean, it's ridiculous, right? But this is, when I first saw that video, I have to be honest, I didn't think it was real. I thought that it was like
a parody.
It was a parody, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because this is, in my opinion, what the right legitimately attacks Democrats for. Mm-hmm. You know, with the girl boss, yas queen language mm-hmm. that is obviously incredibly superficial and just tries to adapt the language of diversity when in reality, behind the scenes, they're doing absolutely nothing policy-wise to improve people's lives. And in the case of the CIA, the CIA caring about the lives of brown women or the lives of people who, you know, aren't cis white males. Like I just think it's ridiculous because again, the CIA's destructive behavior across the globe has persecuted, demonized, and really robbed people of democracy in places like Iran, in places like Guatemala, which we'll talk about in just a minute. But that's where the real criticism is, right? The fact that the CIA has decided to adopt this kind of language to make themselves out to be like these great people, like this great government agency that's really concerned about diversity and really concerned about equality, when in reality, they're not concerned about any of it. It's a recruitment video. They're trying to get people to join them. And they're just adopting language that's as superficial and shallow as the same language the Democratic Party is using in an effort to deflect from their lack of policy.
That's 100% right in terms of analysis. Because look, so you're telling us, okay, oh, Latinos are welcome here and cisgendered Latinx are welcome. No, you know what would help a lot more for Latino people overall? If you didn't do coups in Bolivia,
yeah,
that would help way, way more. Or Honduras,
Venezuela,
and you name it, right? So no, you don't get a cookie, as Anna would say, for saying no. But I had a Latinx person do the coup instead. That doesn't make it any better at all,
right?
And it doesn't make you more diverse. It doesn't make you more progressive. It doesn't make you any of those things. So you got clowns to the left of us, jokers to the right of us, right? So are we going to go to Ted Cruz?
Let's go to Ted Cruz
because I want to again hit both sides here.
So Ted Cruz says, if you're a Chinese communist or an Iranian mullah or Kim Jong Un, would this scare you? We've come a long way from Jason Bourne. Like, this is a mix of Ted Cruz trying way too hard. Like he knows he's uncool. He knows that he's disliked. And he's like, what kind of pop culture reference can I lean on here to make myself seem a little edgy? And then simultaneously, of course, he has this weird fantasy in his head where foreign leaders are sitting around watching our CIA's recruitment videos just to laugh at us. No, there's a lot to laugh at the United States about. Let's keep it real. Again, I mean, I gave you the context under which someone like Meghan McCain is on a national television show to share her political analysis. Let's also talk about the fact that a United States senator named Ted Cruz exists. That's another thing to laugh at the United States about.
Yeah, all right. So a bunch of things here. Number one, let's all just acknowledge the obvious. Jason Bourne's not real. Okay. Number two, if you actually read the books, the CIA's awful to Jason Bourne. They kidnap his wife, nearly kill her. They shred his humanity, etc. And it's like, ah, the good old days. For Republicans, maybe it is. I don't know. Oh, they're kidnapping wives. Interesting. Okay. So, and obviously he's trying to be cool in his own way. No question about it. But really, for the idea that the CIA is filled with these like super awesome secret spy assassins like Jason Bourne. And of course he wanted to say 007 and somebody probably told, He's British, he's British. Jason Bourne, right? Anyway, all those guys, that's nonsense, total nonsense. That's not what actually happens, right? I interviewed a former CIA spy, an actual spy, a secret agent, okay? And she had amazing stories to tell. Like, they still have some old school tricks, like the honeypot trick, where they have an attractive female. I mean, they keep it real, right? In recruiting foreign assets, etc. But she said mainly the CIA is driven by bureaucracy. So she literally saw one of the thousands of bureaucrats that they have sleeping under his desk. Okay, it's just like any old bureaucracy. Yeah, they do coups, but these days.
Yeah, just like any other bureaucracy.
No,
like they just overthrow democratically elected leaders.
Yeah, and by the way, since they are a normal bureaucracy, they suck at it. That's why a bunch of the coups have failed. Right?
Well, a bunch of them have succeeded and have led to disastrous results, as in places like Iran, where they overthrew.
That was back in the old days when the CIA was more of the dreams of Ted Cruz, where we go overthrow democratically elected governments that are brown, and we steal their oil and all their assets or their bananas, and then we go, ha ha, we murdered your leaders and did a coup. That was the good old days, according to Ted Cruz. That's part of my point. These days, most of our coups are bungled.
Okay, that's right. Yeah. I mean, to some extent, you're right. I mean,
and thank God, by the way, because we should be doing coups of democratically elected people across the world. Anyways, back to the CIA and their attempts to be woke. I mean, like here, I'll quote one of our members. Unca Monkey writes in, funny handle. So imperialism is trying to be woke now. They keep using that word. I do not think it means what they think it means. Okay, yeah, no, imperialism isn't woke. CIA doing coups isn't woke. Them doing signature strikes, gathering information for signature strikes and executing them, that is murdering or assassinating people without enough information, right? And without any judicial authority. None of that is woke. And I don't care if you say that the person doing it is cisgendered or intersectional. And what was the other
Generalized anxiety disorder. Yeah, generalized anxiety disorder.
Whatever.
There's also a thing now called imposter syndrome. Look, millennials, I love you guys. I'm a millennial. I love you guys. I understand, like, our economic situation is obviously uniquely different than the economic situation that compared to the generation before us. So I'm not taking away from that. Please stop perpetuating these nonsense phrases and things. Like, we need to be tougher, we need to actually fight, and we're not gonna be fighters if we're like, oh, I got imposter syndrome and I have generalized anxiety disorder. And then like, I don't know what else we're gonna come up with, but we gotta stop. We gotta stop and we gotta fight. Like, that's my, I'm not saying like, oh, the system is fair and stop crying about it. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, when you start perpetuating these like weird, made up, like victimhood frames of what you're experiencing, it makes people less likely to take your argument seriously, the fact that you're organizing and fighting seriously. Like, that whole ad was embarrassing. It was incredibly embarrassing. No offense to that CIA agent who's very proud of herself, great. But girl bossing your way through the CIA is not going to fundamentally change the societal ills that we've been trying to fight back against. And I hated every part of it. And I think that it paints millennials in a way that's inaccurate. I don't think that most millennials see themselves that way. It's just that the ones who do tend to have the loudest microphone. They tend to be the ones who get invited on cable news. They tend to be the ones who are featured in these types of ads. And it's embarrassing. I'm just keeping it real. It's 100% embarrassing. What's also embarrassing is anyone who's decided to watch that recruiting ad and all they take away from it is, oh man, this makes us look so weak to our foreign adversaries. No, that's not the concern. The real concern is stuff like this. This is the coup that happened in Guatemala, led by the United States CIA in the 1950s. Take a look.
To improve social conditions, Guatemala forced United Fruit to sell back part of its land, then gave it in parcels to 100,000 peasants. It was the brainchild of an idealistic president, Jacobo Arbenz, who thought land reform would save his country. He might as well have declared war on the United States. In the Eisenhower administration, the Secretary and Undersecretary of State, the head of the CIA, and the UN ambassador all had ties to the United Fruit Company. The Secretary of State, John Foster Dulles, was a fanatical anti-communist who saw the Cold War as a biblical struggle between good and evil. Foster's brother, Alan Dulles, ran the CIA. It was a very convenient relationship, avoiding unnecessary debates about policy. In the matter of Guatemala, the Dulles brothers hatched a plan to topple the Arbenz government while creating a cover story to hide American involvement. To create the illusion of a popular uprising against Arbenz, the CIA needed to find someone to lead the newly invented rebellion. The man they cast in the role was Castillo Armas. In the capital city, the CIA broadcast a fictional account of the rebel advance. While the American embassy played battle sounds from huge speakers on its roof, American planes swooped past the National Palace. On June 27th, Arbenz stepped down.
Whenever you see the United States engage in these coups, it's always because of business interests, always. And in the case of United Fruit in Guatemala and the obvious financial incentives that the Dulles brothers had here, they decided they're gonna go ahead and orchestrate this coup and overthrow a democratically elected leader in Guatemala. That has led to an incredibly unstable situation in Guatemala. The people of Guatemala have been dealing with it till this day. And so again, whenever you hear about migrants coming to the border, whenever you hear about people from Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador coming to our border seeking asylum, understand this isn't something that's happening to us. This is something that we've done to them because of the CIA, and where the chickens are now coming home to roost. Like, that's where the real analysis is. But no one's having that conversation. Like, no one's talking about that. Everyone's like, oh, we don't like the woke language. I hear you, I don't like it either. But what's beneath the surface? What is the woke language trying to cover up? And it's this crap.
Okay, so on a lighter note, let's end on a couple of things. Peter Hamby wrote in from YouTube Super Chat. How is Ted still able to cruise with everything going on against him? I know he wasn't born yesterday, yet isn't up to the date with current status. Okay, so since he started the dad jokes, let me keep it going. So first of all, let me just say that Rain wrote in on YouTube Super Chat saying, hey, don't make fun of generalized anxiety disorder. It's real. No, of course it's real.
Yeah, I have anxiety. I've got it. Yeah, no. But when you use it to cover up, I'm sorry, I know I'm interrupting you, but when you use it to cover up like what the CIA is really about, I think it's an issue.
Yeah, so but why are you telling us in an ad that this person at the CIA has generalized anxiety disorder? What purpose does that serve? It doesn't serve any purpose at all other than like generalized, like, I don't know, I think this is what the left does, right? They tell people about their disorders. So let's just say it in an ad. Like, although to be fair, the imposter syndrome could be helpful at the CIA. Okay, and finally, I'll end on this. Ted Cruz mentioned Kim Jong-un as well. The nerve, really. Your boss, the man whose boots you lick every day, Donald Trump, said he literally fell in love with Kim Jong-un. I think that encourages Kim Jong-un a lot more than this ridiculous CIA ad does. And if you can't see that, you're purposely blind. He said he was in love with a communist dictator. The leader of the Republicans and the guy they bow down to. Those are facts. So enjoy that. I don't know if that's part of Trump's woke culture to fall in love with Kim Jong-un, but that's what happened.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, more pressure on Biden to waive the vaccine patents. Will he do it? We'll give you the details on how Democrats are chiming in on it when we return.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. the UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
So I'm going to read a couple of comments from YouTube Super Chat about GAD, generalized anxiety disorder. Rain says, "Anna, don't mock GAD. It's legitimate mental illness and it's debilitating. This is just mocking people who suffer from mental illness, including some of your mod team."
I'm going to
hold.
Okay.
Obi Dancy says, "GAD is real and has been in the last three iterations of the DSM. You're mocking people and it doesn't become you, Anna." She is not mocking people. Hold on. I'm going to give Irene a chance here in the member section. "They are real psychological disorders. Just no reason to include them in a CIA recruitment ad. There's no good reason for a CIA recruitment ad if you think about it." Okay. So that Irene's got it exactly right. Of course we're not mocking people who have generalized anxiety disorder. Why the hell would we do that? But to put, what the hell is it doing in a CIA ad? I mean, it's such a weird non sequitur, right? It's like saying, "Oh, I'm a Turkish American who was born Muslim, but now an atheist, and I work at the CIA. And by the way, I twisted my ankle the other day." What?
I also, look, can I talk now? Am yeah. I okay? I also have a problem. It's anxiety disorder. It's anxiety disorder. That's it. I have anxiety. Like, I have an issue with, like, and I have an issue with the DSM. Like, there's always some new thing that's like completely normal in most cases that they've decided that they're gonna like diagnose people with. That's not the case with anxiety disorder. You have anxiety. Why do we have to like, anyway. So yeah, I do have an issue with the way things are framed and how they're used in various contexts to just like rebrand things or launder the reputation of something. And that's exactly what happened in that ad. So
okay,
anyway.
Look, yeah.
And yeah, I do get annoyed with people who I think needlessly present themselves as weak when they're not. You get what I'm saying? I have anxiety. Uh-huh. I don't think that needs to be something that makes a person weak. I think that's where I'm coming from, and it's really hard to articulate what I'm talking about. Same thing happens when we talk about sexism. I can't stand when, perfect example, Elizabeth Warren during the primaries decided to essentially accuse Bernie Sanders of sexism for allegedly saying that he claimed that a woman can't be president.
He never said that.
He that's never the most said obvious that. Thing. But like more importantly, I don't like identity being used as any type of weapon. And that's the sense that I got. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course. If it's to actually fight against the ailment that we're all concerned about, in that case, sexism, great.
Yes.
But if you're using it as a political weapon, despicable.
That, right? Yes, and that's what I'm trying to get.
Yeah, and I know we're really down this rabbit hole, but they call it a disorder. So I don't know anything about it, okay? But I think that has connotations, right? So look, I knew kids who were diagnosed with ADD, and I know we're really down the rabbit hole now. They're fine. They're incredibly upstanding citizens. They were kids. So that also happens. It's a range, it's a spectrum. All right, we'll be back. right, back on the Young Turks. I want to do quick shout outs to people who just joined by hitting that join button below, like we asked you to, if you're watching on YouTube. MS, then Shauna Antus and Lorraine DeJong. You guys are all American heroes, or as Kid Tested Politburo Approved writes in our member section. Do you want to get cookies? Do you want bonuses? Become a member and save the world. I'm not saying it, I'm just asking it. I love this person. Okay, so I love our members. We'll do more comments during
the social break.
That's cool. Anna's pointing the social that out break, which as the boss and executive producer of the show. Let's go forward.
All right, let's talk about the vaccine. Democrats have been facing quite a bit of backlash for refusing to waive the coronavirus vaccine patent. Now, some Democrats luckily are on the right side of this issue. There are some developing countries and countries like India, for instance, that are looking to manufacture their own vaccine to ensure that they save the lives of people living in their own countries. But unfortunately, there are many Democrats who have taken money from the pharmaceutical industry who just refused to sign on to a letter, for instance, calling for the Biden administration to waive the patent. Now, first, let's talk about the good guys. Representative Jen Schakowsky's letter to President Biden calls for the White House to temporarily lift the trade-related intellectual property rights, also known as TRIPS, that prevent many developing countries from manufacturing COVID-19 vaccines or treatments. The letter specifically calls for Biden to heed the appeals of India, South Africa, and nearly 100 other developing countries that are asking for the waiver as they confront COVID-19 with fewer resources. Now, right now, there is a total of 110 of the 218 House Democrats, including Schakowsky, of course, who have signed this letter, ensuring it will have the support of the majority of the House Democratic caucus. That's good news. The bad news is that when it comes to pharmaceutical money, those who have taken contributions from that industry have not signed on to that letter. In fact, a few of them have even come out on the record to say that they're against waiving the patent. None of the 9 House Democrats among Congress's top 25 recipients of donations from the pharmaceutical industry in the 2020 election cycle have signed the letter. And I'm going to call out them. I'm going to call them out by name, starting with the biggest recipient, who's Representative Frank Pallone from New Jersey. He has taken over $202,000 in the 2020 election cycle from the pharmaceutical industry. Coming in second is Representative Richard Neal, nearly $200,000. Representative Scott Peters, Representative Anna Eshoo, Representative Chris Coons, of course.
No, that's Senator Chris Coons.
Oh, my bad. Senator Chris Coons. I don't know why he was on that list.
Yeah. That doesn't make sense. I think that's wrong. I think Chris Coons is taking more money. Mm-hmm. Chris Coons is taking the most among the Senate Democrats. And then you've got these 9 Democrats in the House who are the 9 that took the most amount of money from Big Pharma, and they're all the ones who did not sign the letter. Okay? So now there's 2 different issues here. What should we do about getting the vaccine to developing countries? On that one, I think that there are easy answers that no one ever does because of the corruption, which I'll get to in the, as the second part of this. What if you're making a real deal, what you would do is, if I was the president, and some progressives might not like this, I would do a balancing of interests. And I would say, okay, we want to make sure the pharmaceutical companies have enough interest in developing a vaccine so they're motivated enough to do one. Okay, how much money do they need to make to do that? A return on investment, margins, etc. And then I would say, okay, now how many lives are we going to save with these vaccines, etc. And then I would make sure that they had a healthy margin, which, by the way, their margins are unbelievable. They're beyond healthy. They're gargantuan, right? In the real world, it's okay to say, hey, look, I want you to have healthy margins, but we're gonna get the vaccine to the whole world because I'm not gonna let people die so that you make 45% return rather than 25% return. I'm not gonna do that. And the way that the president would enforce that is when he originally makes the deal to give them billions of dollars in subsidies to produce these drugs in the first place, these vaccines. And so when Trump made the deal on these vaccines, he should have said, and part of the condition is, here's how we're going to distribute it. Not, here, we'll give you the billions of dollars, and then we're at your mercy. You charge us whatever you like in America, you charge whatever you want to the world, deny it to the world to make bigger profits. Mm-hmm. Trump was their little bitch. He did whatever they wanted, and he got nothing in return, because he's an idiot, he doesn't want to make a deal, but more importantly, he's corrupt. And he's, and by the way, so now again, we're the fairest show in America. So are these Democrats. Now, if you want to solve the problem and you want to get Biden to actually sign it tomorrow and say, yes, the vaccine can go to these developing countries, what you would do is you would call out the corruption. Is it a coincidence that the all of the Democrats in the Senate and in the House who received the most amount of money from drug companies are now voting with the drug companies? Anyone who thinks that's a coincidence is a moron of the highest order. They're all corrupt. That is textbook corruption. They take a legalized bribe and then they do as they are ordered by their owners. Yes, that includes Chris Coons, the top ally of Joe Biden in the Senate. You know why we tell you that? Because we hate Joe Biden? No, we tell you that because our job is to cover the news and to be honest with you. Find any other show, especially on TV where they're filled to the room with liars, that'll actually tell you the truth. MSNBC will tell you the Democrats are God's gift to humanity. Oh, Chris Coons, how could you say he's corrupt? You guys are radicals, right? And Fox News will tell you, oh, Coons is the worst, but Trump is the best. No, they all make the same crooked deals. And Ilhan Omar today tweeted great about, hey, you gotta do this, putting some pressure on Biden. So she's one of the good guys in that sense. Thank you for putting some pressure on Biden. But are any progressive legislators gonna make a big issue about how their colleagues are corrupt? Yes, they definitely should. None of them will, because that would make people uncomfortable. That's the reality.
So Biden had committed to waiving any potential patents if the United States were the first country to develop a coronavirus vaccine. This was during the 2020 election, and Addie Barkin had asked him that specific question. Let's see how he answered.
If the US discovers a vaccine first, will you commit to sharing that technology with other countries? And will you ensure there are no patents to stand in the way of other countries and companies mass producing those life-saving vaccines?
Absolutely, positively. This is the only humane thing in the world to do.
Great, so he should do it. There's no reason why he shouldn't do it at this point. We're not talking about, I mean, look, the entire pharmaceutical industry and the way the system is set up with this incredible profit motive is sick to its core, and it's something that needs to change. But we're not even having a discussion about fundamentally changing it. We're just having a talk about temporarily lifting the patent on these vaccines to ensure that we save people's lives and stop the spread of a deadly virus. This is a global pandemic, and we're currently living in a global economy. So the fact, I mean, look, again, even if, let's just pretend as if Americans and the American government doesn't care about any human lives. There's no morality that plays a role in their thinking, and they're only thinking about money. Okay, which seems to be the driving force for many of our politicians. It is stupid to focus solely on ensuring that everyone in one country is vaccinated when we're dealing with a global pandemic, when we're dealing with a virus that likely didn't originate in the United States. It originated in a different country and made its way to the United States. So the idea of not sharing this technology and ensuring that as many people across the globe get vaccinated as humanly possible is absolutely ridiculous. There's no reason why we should still have this debate. Why hasn't this already happened? And by the way, it's a huge myth that pharmaceutical companies, you know, they need these patents and because they need this incentive to develop these drugs. Otherwise, I mean, they're taking a huge risk. They're putting so much of their money into developing these drugs. Except you look at the research and development funding for most of the drugs, and you'll see that it comes out of our pockets. The US taxpayers pay for it, and then they turn around and they price gouge us. And then they have these conversations about like, oh yeah, but you know, we're not gonna invest in this, and we're not gonna take these risks unless we have these protections. Get out of here. They don't take any risks. That's the biggest American myth, that these private companies take on all the risks and they should be rewarded for it, when in reality, we're the ones who take the risks on their behalf all the time.
Okay, so last part of this is, Biden's gonna make the decision tomorrow, so we're gonna find out, okay? And I don't know which way he's gonna go. It should be super easy. This should be the layup of a lifetime. Number one, you just heard him during the campaign. He said he would definitely do it, so he made a campaign promise. In fact, Addie did a follow-up And Biden answered yes, 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 yes. Four times he said yes, that he would do this. Nothing's ever been clearer. Number two, it's a little bit of a going in the direction of progressives, giving them another easy thing that doesn't cost them anything. Number three, as he pointed out, it's the humane thing to do. Number four, it's in his self-interest. Because even if you don't care about the hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of people who are gonna die waiting for the vaccine across the world, those variants might then spread and come back here. And then if the disease picks back up here, it hurts Biden's presidency, let alone the American people, right? So there's just no reason not to do it. So if he doesn't do it and he sides with the drug companies, that means Joe Biden is corrupt. Now, again, you won't hear that anywhere on television. There is literally no reason to go back on that campaign promise other than cold hard cash that the drug companies give as campaign contributions to Joe Biden and his friends in Congress. So everything's about corruption, but everyone in mainstream media will lie to you and pretend that's not the issue at hand. It is.
We have more vaccine related news, this time with our very favorite Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson decided to blame the Biden administration for a vaccine mandate without actually implementing a vaccine mandate. Here's the ridiculous argument right from Tucker Carlson's mouth.
When it comes to medical care, it is your body, it is your choice, just as it has been since 1973. And that seemed to be, consistently enough, the Biden administration's position on vaccines. Many people assumed it was their position, but it was not. On the question of vaccines, Joe Biden is not pro-choice. Joe Biden is pro-mandate. You may have missed that. Just because there is no official federal requirement to take the coronavirus vaccine does not mean that you and your family won't be required to take it.
So there's no official federal requirement to take the vaccine, which means that there is no vaccine mandate from the federal government, which is why he's mentioning Joe Biden. Because what? Why is the Biden administration being picked on for a vaccine mandate that doesn't exist?
So we just did a story where we said if Joe Biden doesn't go against the drug companies and allow the vaccine to go to the third world countries, he will be corrupt. So it's not like anyone here is soft on Biden. In fact, we get tons of heat for being way too harsh on Biden. But that segment is insanity.
Yep.
Joe Biden is not for mandatory vaccines. That's why you should blame him for mandatory vaccines. Okay, I mean, what was weird is that he bothered to tell the truth before he lied about it.
Right, yeah. But then he goes on to suggest something fascinating for a conservative on Fox News. He gives the example of private colleges basically saying that students absolutely need to get vaccinated before they come take classes on campus in person. Take a look.
With the full backing of the Biden administration, private industry and nonprofits may be forcing you to. For example, colleges across the country have announced that they will require vaccine passports in the fall. Students who can't show proof of COVID vaccination will not be allowed on campus. Yale, Georgetown, Princeton have adopted this rule.
So essentially what he's calling for here is the federal government to essentially force private companies, private colleges, to not make it a requirement for people to be vaccinated before they come back to school, before they come back to work. So he is asking for the federal government to meddle into the affairs of private universities and private businesses, which he seemed to have quite a bit of an issue with when it came to discrimination against gay people. Remember when there was that big national debate about whether private businesses should be forced to bake wedding cakes for gay couples? Here's how Tucker Carlson reacted to that debate.
If I don't want to bake you a cake for your gay wedding, that's okay too, or should be. That's called tolerance. But when you try and force me to bake a cake for your gay wedding and threaten me with prison if I don't, that's called fascism. Yeah, I don't really know what this has to do with same-sex marriage or gay rights, and I personally know some gay people who are appalled by this because it suggests that government can tell you, whoever you are, exactly what to think, and if you disagree, they can punish you.
So Mr. Anti-Government Intervention is now calling on the Biden administration to force private companies to lift their vaccine requirements.
Yeah, no, I know what he's doing. So number one, he says the truth before he lies because he wants to protect himself from lawsuits. They've had long discussions with lawyers at Fox News. Now remember, when we lie about the election, we have to tell everybody Joe Biden actually won and then insinuate 1,000 times over that he didn't actually win it. So that way, when we get sued, we can point to the tape and go, well, he said Biden won the election before he said, oh, there was fraud and potential fraud and possibly fake immigrants and aliens and Martians voting, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, and et cetera, et cetera. So in this case, he says now Biden is not for mandates, but I hate him because he's for mandates. The Fox audience doesn't hear the truth. They only hear what they want to hear, which is you should go ahead and hate Biden. Okay, but more importantly, look at the through line through all those clips, through all those videos for Tucker Carlson. And that's the same thing in the one we mocked the most, the segment where he said, they're gonna get into office and they're gonna make you drink Starbucks every day, right? The through line is the government is horrible. The government doesn't protect you from corporations. The government is the one that's hunting you down and taking away your choices. The government doesn't protect you when you're elderly and need Social Security or Medicare. The government is the evil one. They're gonna make you drink coffee and they're gonna make you do the vaccinations and they're gonna make you bake cakes. Now, as Anna pointed out, the logic doesn't make any sense at all. He's on both sides of the issue. The government should make a private company bake a cake. The government should make a private university do whatever it wants the government to do, not the private university. Same thing with Nike, same thing with all these companies they don't agree with. That's a private corporation. That's it. They should be banned from doing.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
Something that we don't want. That's the exact opposite of conservative ideology.
Right.
The exact opposite. But it doesn't matter. It's because what the audience wants to hear is, I'm oppressed. The government is oppressing me. Tax cuts for the rich. The answer to the government oppressing me is less government. Don't fund the IRS. Make sure the rich can cheat on their taxes. Don't ask for taxes from Amazon or these giant corporations. And deregulate everything so they can run all of our lives. Don't let the government run your lives. Let corporations run your lives. So while Tucker Carlson does some anti-corporate segments now, which is really interesting because his audience is now beginning to realize that it's corporations that are screwing them and have been screwing them all this time. Mm-hmm. So Tucker also does that. Oh, corporation is bad. Then he turns around and says, make sure though that you don't fund the government and that you make the government as weak as possible so there's no check at all on corporations and corporate power. That's the game that's being played on you.
I mean, Tucker Carlson and his family has been the beneficiary of the pro-corporate culture in America forever, for decades and decades and decades. I mean, the idea that he is in any way anti-corporate is laughable and ridiculous. And honestly, anyone who believes that Tucker Carlson is a populist of some sort who's looking out for the little guy, I got a bridge I want to sell you. I mean, it's just the most ridiculous thing to believe. And of course, he then went on to claim that young people don't need to get vaccinated, just regurgitating lies, regurgitating misinformation. Mind you, he's been fully vaccinated at this point. He's been open about that. But when it comes to other people getting vaccinated, I love how he loves to, you know, just pass down all of that misinformation, much like he did in the beginning of the pandemic when he's safe in his little home studio but is speaking out against government closures that were intended to keep people safe, that were intended to stop the spread of the pandemic. Be very skeptical of people who sit in their, you know, homes of privilege, can work from home, don't have to put themselves in any risk in order to earn a paycheck, telling you, there's nothing to worry about, don't get vaccinated. There's nothing to worry about, open these businesses back up. There's nothing to worry about. Yeah, there's nothing to worry about for him because he's protected. And making this a big culture war issue is great for his bottom line.
Yeah, well, look, last thing I'll say on that is same exact pattern here, right? Tucker says, no, look, I'm in favor of the vaccine. Then he goes on to tell you taking the vaccine is government propaganda and government oppression, et cetera, right? And again, remember, the government is not making you take the vaccine. Tucker Carlson just told you that, but then he pretends as if they are, right? He is driving this home because he wants to make sure that his audience basically is riled up in demagoguery. Okay, and populist demagoguery. Okay, so what is the result of that? Well, look, are there some people who wouldn't have taken the vaccine no matter what? Yes. I don't know what the number would have been. I'm guessing 5%, right? Now, I just saw a poll, 20% of the country is a hard no on the vaccine. Some percentage say, if the government forces me to, I would, right? A bigger percentage say, no, under no circumstances will I take the vaccine. So that 20% number would have been much, much lower if it wasn't for Trump and Fox News telling you that the vaccine is bad and a government oppression and all that stuff. So of that extra people who didn't take the vaccine, how many of them are gonna die? My guess is throughout this whole, since the vaccine's been around, probably tens of thousands of people. And Tucker Carlson knows that, Trump knows that, they don't care. Those are just playthings, pawns to them, right? Oh, you're gonna die because you believed my propaganda? Well, that made me richer, that made me more powerful, so I don't care about you. So if I took the vaccine, but I tricked you into not taking the vaccine and you died. Ha ha, is Tucker Carlson and Donald Trump's view of the world. That's the reality.
We gotta take a break. When we come back, some places are trying to incentivize getting the vaccine. I'll give you some examples. In some cases, they're giving out cold hard cash. So we'll give you those details and more when we come back.
They wanna make you drink Starbucks every day from now until forever.
Back on the Young Turks, let me read some Twitch comments for you guys. Depressed Progressive gave 1,000 bits. Thank you, brother. Really appreciate it. I always say brother, but sorry, I don't know the genders of the folks because of the handles. I've learned some of them now because you guys are so great and have been with us for a long time. And it turns out, of course, Depressed Progressive is a woman. So thank you, sister. The real Pac-Man writes in 11 months on Twitch, but down since day one. TYT is my news source. Thank you for keeping it 100. Hashtag Smokelahoma. First time I'm hearing that, I instantly love it. It could go for barbecue, it could go for weed, it could go for both. Think about it. You already have, that's why you did it. Anyway, Daniel Igbitka writes in, I feel so lucky to have found TYT. I don't know how much I would have survived this past year without you guys. Thank you so much, love you all. Oh, that's Daniel. Danielle, what's with me and the genders today? All right, Danielle, much love. We can't survive without you. So I love doing this show with you guys. All right, Cuban 007 writes in. I remember when the CIA, no, I'm kidding. Writes in, 3 months here. I don't know, like 2 years with a normal TYT subscription. Doubled the dough with Bezos bucks. Cuban 007. Thank you. Okay. Yeetwood Mac, hey y'all, has been with us for 10 months. The Real Blue Tech gifted 11 subs. Wow. Tandy B gifted 5 subs. So thank you, Tandy. And Elder Mind Pulse gave 55 subs. Jeez, of Lord mercy. I love our community on Twitch. Love it, love it. Okay, so the stoning ban just joined on YouTube. Is the stoning ban a bit of a hero? I think Bit is probably underplaying it. That's my guess, but I'm just guessing, okay? So you guys are awesome for signing up that way, and you get the bonus episode every day if you sign up at the Essentials level with the join button below on YouTube. All right, I'm going to our members. We're going to Effectos writes in, well, if private corporations can change the terms of service whenever they like, I say the US changes the terms of service on companies who benefited from Operation Warp Speed money. Yeah, super easy. Well, we should have made a deal with them in the beginning. The government doesn't do it because they're corrupt. And if later they're saying, no, I demand 200% margins, I demand 400% returns, you go, no, here, we're changing the terms of service. We gave you all these billions of dollars in subsidies. Now you have to, we're going to allow your, you know, because you know who controls the patents of the drug companies? The government does. The government gives the patent to the drug companies. They don't exist in the wild. You can't go in the woods and find a patent, okay? So yes, the government has the authority to change those terms of service in a manner of speaking. So great point, Effectos. And I wanted to do a fun one here. Ah, I can't find them now. They were good though. We were having fun. You were saying, hey, Jinx on Tuesday. Yeah, I'm back on Tuesdays. Fun for everybody. All right, we'll be right back.
You are making excuses because all you want is power.
Back on TYT, Jake Uger, Anna Kasparian. Are we the best show on earth? I guess. I mean, that's what people are saying. I'm not saying
okay,
it.
Okay, let's go.
People
let's
are
go.
Saying
we gotta go. We gotta go. All right. Next story.
What other show does this? All right, go ahead, Cass.
All right. Unfortunately, there are people in the country who refuse to get vaccinated. And since the vaccine is readily available for free, we're trying to get people to show up, get those shots and protect themselves from the coronavirus. Now, in some parts of the country, local lawmakers are thinking of various incentives, like in New York, Wayne County specifically, they have implemented a Star Wars theme that might appeal to some people. They want the Fourth to be with you or what have you, you know, the thing that people like.
May the
like.
Fourth be
yeah,
with
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Oh, God,
we got it.
Oh,
we got
please.
It. No, look, I like that they're trying to incentivize people. Just because I'm not into that doesn't mean that they shouldn't try to do it.
But you get it, right? May the Fourth be with you.
Yeah, Cenk, I get it. I'm not okay. An idiot. Yeah, okay, I think right. It's cheesy. It comes up every year and everyone's like, oh, oh, may the Fourth be with you.
I love it.
I know.
I love it. I'm right
okay,
there with
great.
You.
Great. Awesome.
Pass the cheese.
It would be nice if adults acted like adults and just got the vaccine and didn't need to be treated like children, but it's okay. In this case, I guess that's what needs to happen. And so, great. So that's happening in Wayne County. Obviously, I am irritated by the fact that this is even a difficult thing to do. Just get vaccinated, the virus mutates, and it's mutating to something that's even more deadly and more contagious. And it might get to a point where it could mutate to something that doesn't even, that the vaccine doesn't even work on, which is why time is of the essence. Please go get vaccinated. If they need to do this to encourage people, great. I know I'm being a little bit of a downer on it. There are other examples. For instance, the Wayne County Public Health Department isn't the only health department that's decided to incentivize it. It's not often that state health department encourages residents to drink beer, but in New Jersey, for instance, the Department of Health will buy residents a pint of their own if those residents show proof they have been vaccinated against the coronavirus. Okay, see that I can kind of get behind. I like that one. I might just pretend like I'm not vaccinated to get that free beer. Why not? Sounds
yeah,
fun.
God bless.
And then there are other examples. For instance, Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont. Ned Lamont's administration is buying beers for nutmeggers at any of the dozens of restaurants that have signed up for the state's CT Drinks on Us campaign.
Okay, first of all, let's acknowledge that they're calling people from Connecticut nutmeggers is fun. Let's acknowledge that having a beer and a shot is a fun campaign. Now, I got the vaccine over a month ago, and I guarantee you that this is gonna, some people are gonna say this. That's not fair, man. I didn't get a beer when I got the vaccine. A, you'll be all right. Okay. B, yes, but we've been vaccinated for over a month, so we had a greater chance of living and not dying. So if you told me, hey, if you wait an extra month and risk your life for an extra month, you'll get a beer, I'll be like, hold my beer. Just when you thought May the 4th be with you was bad. Okay, so yeah, look, they're trying to get now the reluctant people because actually it turns out I got vaccinated on the day that was the peak. On April 1st, 4 million people got vaccinated, right? Now we're down to a daily average of only 2.5 million. So, and then in places like Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, only a third of the people have been vaccinated. And that's of course because they're in red states. And so they usually have Republicans leading those states that are deeply incompetent. Even if they wanted to hand out the vaccine, they wouldn't know how. They'd, oh, government, I hate the government. I don't know what the government is. Oh no, I spilled the vaccine, right? And so those morons are like 48, 49, 50 and almost every category, and yet the white Republicans keep it real in those states. Go, oh, do they hate black and Latino people? Yeah, okay, man, I like being number 49. We're number 49. Okay, and they do it because of the culture wars, right? So this is what you get. And yes, there's a lot of folks there that are MAGA heads who are like, oh, me no take vaccine, me no see Trump take it. By the way, Trump took it. He just didn't show you because he wanted to do demagoguery. So those are the reasons why we're lower than we should be. And that's why they got to incentivize people. And if, hey, look, if a beer works, have at it, nutmeggers and everyone else.
Yeah, look, whatever. I know. It's just important for people to get vaccinated. It sucks that it's gotten to, first of all, it sucks that it was turned into a culture war to begin with. Every step of the way, the GOP has made this ridiculously difficult, whether it's ensuring that we have the correct testing and the enough testing for the coronavirus, to ensuring that people wear masks, to now ensuring that people get vaccinated. Every step of the way has needlessly been difficult and made difficult by the GOP. And now on a local level, you have Republican governors who are trying to clean up the mess that conservative media and government officials on a federal level have created. For instance, in West Virginia, Governor Jim Justice has rolled out a program that will give a $100 savings bond to younger residents who get vaccinated. Detroit residents can get a $50 prepaid debit card each time they bring one of their fellow residents to get a shot. Maryland Governor Larry Hogan announced a new $100 bonus for state employees who get jabbed, and a retroactive bonus for those who have already been inoculated. So you're seeing this throughout the country. Similar programs are popping up in Texas as well. And I wish that we weren't in a situation where we had to incentivize people. Being able to save your life, being able to save the lives of your loved ones should be incentive enough. But here we are. This is what we've been reduced to. So may the 4th be with you.
Yeah. All right. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about Liz Cheney because she's getting a lot of heat from the Republican Party. GOP Congresswoman Liz Cheney has been dealing with a lot of backlash from the Republican Party because she is one of the few who has openly spoken out against Donald Trump and the lies that he perpetuates about the 2020 election. She says that there was not voter fraud. She's just simply doing the bare minimum, explaining what the reality of the situation is. But guess what? Despite the fact that she's facing retaliation from her own colleagues, despite the fact that she's for once telling the truth about what actually happened in the 2020 election, she doesn't get any cookies. No cookies for you, I'm sorry. So Cheney is the third powerful Republican in the House. And so there are calls to basically boot her from her chairmanship of the Republican Party. And it's because of the fact that she's been so openly critical about Donald Trump and what actually transpired during the 2020 election. She recently tweeted this week that the 2020 presidential election was not stolen. Anyone who claims it was is spreading the big lie, turning their back on the rule of law and poisoning our democratic system. And it's great that she's being honest for once. But let's not forget that the Republican Party, with the help of Liz Cheney, created the monster that is Donald Trump. Like, for her to now find moral and ethical issues with the Republican Party is laughable, when she has gone along with endless Republican lies when it comes to foreign policy, when it comes to domestic policy, when it comes to preemptive wars. I mean, this woman has created the situation that we find ourselves in today. And for her to get any type of credit or to get a cookie for just telling the truth this one time doesn't make any sense to me. But we'll get to Kevin McCarthy and what's likely to happen in just a minute. Cenk, what do you think?
So look, I'll be a little bit more balanced, but in both directions.
Are you saying I'm not balanced?
No, hold. You'll see. You'll see. So number one, it is courageous in this day and age to, if you're in the Republican Party, and certainly if you're the third most powerful position, at least in the House for the Republicans, to say that the dear leader is not telling the truth. That'll cost you your job likely, and that's probably what's going to happen, as Anna's gonna explain in a minute. So I'll give her a little bit of credit for that. But number one, you're not getting it. 70% of Republican voters right now say that Donald Trump won the election and Joe Biden lost it and stole it. 70% of Republicans. So you're not just out of touch with your colleagues. Your colleagues actually initially supported you when you voted to impeach Donald Trump. They didn't remove her from her position. But now that they've seen the polls, they're like, oh, remember, we're all have no moral core at all. We're all servants, right? And so we will do whatever we need to do to serve our master, Donald Trump, because that's where the voters are. And so now we're all gonna say, we're all gonna lie on purpose. Now, on the other hand, for Liz Cheney, you just discovered lies within the Republican Party. Your dad is the one who told a lie about Iraq having weapons of mass destruction. Your dad is the one who insinuated that Iraq attacked us on 9/11 by saying that they were working with Al-Qaeda, when that was the exact opposite of the truth. He said, oh, well, look, the people who attacked us came from the same geographic region as Iraq. Okay, your dad is one of the most notorious liars in American history. And by the way, as despicable as Donald Trump is, and as fascist as he is, and he wants to end democracy for his own personal power, your dad's lies led to a lot more people dying. Innocent civilians, nearly a million of them died because of Cheney lies. So don't come here and pretend that you just discovered lies in the Republican Party.
Yeah.
It's like the end of Casablanca. Oh, there's gambling in this establishment, huh? Out of the Cheneys are saying that. And Anna, your frustration is born out of the fact that the mainstream media was constantly born yesterday. So they're not being balanced. They're all giving her a standing ovation.
I think that's your frustration, because that's your focus. But like, I hear what you're saying about the media. Yeah, they are giving her a standing ovation, and I don't think she deserves it. You're right about that. But more importantly, like, what she fails to understand is that the foreign policies that she pushed for with the help of goons like Bill Kristol and their ridiculous little think tank led to countless American troops getting sent on multiple tours to the Middle East. And then they come back for that, after fighting in that ridiculous, nonsensical war in Iraq or Afghanistan, they come back to the United States with PTSD, all sorts of mental health issues. They don't get the mental health care that they need. They don't get the medical treatment that they need. And so what do you think is gonna happen when you have someone like Donald Trump come in and present himself as the, alternate Republican brand. Now, of course, we know that Donald Trump is full of crap. We know that he doubled down on the foreign policy that we saw in the Bush administration and the Obama administration, but he presented himself as someone who was different. And when you are the parent or a family member of a soldier who came back with all of those mental health or physical health issues and got abandoned by the federal government, yeah, they're not gonna be into your brand of Republicanism anymore. They're gonna be into the brand that Donald Trump is representing. In fact, let's go to the last graph here, because Donald Trump bit back and said this about Liz Cheney. Heartwarming to read new polls on big shot warmonger Liz Cheney and the great state of Wyoming. She's so low that her only chance would be if vast numbers of people run against her, which hopefully won't happen. They never liked her much, but blah, 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 blah. The main word I wanted to emphasize there, though, is warmonger. That word resonates with people. Because again, we've had countless Americans take multiple tours to the Middle East to fight the wars that Liz Cheney fought for, right? So that's why she gets no cookies. She created the monster. She created a situation in which 70% of Republican voters look at Donald Trump and they say, yeah, I like that guy because at least he calls out the warmongers.
Yes. Now, let's turn to Donald Trump and what a gargantuan liar he is on this issue. But to be fair to him, he is savvy in marketing. So remember, fake news originally referred to what Donald Trump and his allies did in spreading fake news before the 2016 election on Facebook and other social media. Trump got into office and flipped it. And he just took the phrase fake news and said, it doesn't mean that we're fake anymore, it means you're fake. And it totally worked. Now, whenever anybody thinks about fake news, they think of Trump calling the mainstream media fake news, right? He's doing it again with a big lie. He noticed everybody's calling his lie about winning the election the big lie because they went to court 60 times. They never had any evidence, zero evidence, right? So you know the whole story. So now Trump puts out a statement saying, the fraudulent presidential election of 2020 will be from this day forth known as the big lie. In other words, he's saying, now we're gonna call Biden winning the big lie.
Yeah, he's great at branding.
Yeah, and so what'll happen is all of his supporters, Fox News, Republican Congress people, with the exception of Liz Cheney apparently, and Trump himself, they'll just keep calling it the big lie until people will get confused. And then they'll think, no wait, we can't call the election the big lie, Trump's claims the big lie anymore, because they're calling Biden the big lie. And then it'll be a wash or his advantage. And so that's the branding that he's doing. And yes, the big lie does originally come from Goebbels and the Nazis. And he said this about it, allegedly. He said, if you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. Donald Trump 101. And now he brazenly takes Goebbels' top phrase, flips the reality on its head. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you the last line from Goebbels as it's reported. Quote, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state. And for Trump and the Republican state, that is exactly right. That's why Liz Cheney must be removed. She's in this brief moment, she's telling the truth, and the Republican Party will not stand for it.
So it's likely to happen, and we'll fill you guys in as we learn more. We'll see what happens in the future. Looks like even Kevin McCarthy, the House Minority Leader, is willing to turn his back on her, whereas before he was willing to kind of stick up for her a little bit after she voted to impeach Donald Trump following the January 6th insurrection.
And I'll tell you real quick why. Because now Tucker Carlson's starting to attack Kevin McCarthy. And so Kevin McCarthy got nervous. Before he was willing to back Cheney, he thought, oh, I don't know who's gonna win. Are the people who are rational going to win? Rational but terrible in other ways? Or the Trump people who, and I'm a politician, I'll go whichever side. Oh, we're all lying? Okay, great, I'll lie, right? And so he defended her in that moment. Now, his neck is on the line. And he's worried about losing his power, and he thinks he could win the next election, he could become Speaker of the House. So he went on Fox News and threw Liz Cheney under the bus and said that they are considering taking action, which means she's gone by the end of the month.
All right, that does it for hour one. When we come back for the second hour, we have more news for you guys, including the slander industry. What is it, and is there anything we can do to stop it?
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.